Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is Sunday, May 2nd, the fifth Sunday in the season of Easter. Today's first scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loves us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a sister or a brother whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the Holy Gospel according to John chapter 15. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and become my disciples." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And grace to you and peace from God our Father and our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, several times in the last few weeks, I've run into debates about where our focus as church ought to be. And sometimes it's framed as evangelism versus social justice. Sometimes it's helping people versus saving souls. Sometimes it's physical versus spiritual needs. But I keep running into conversations with these questions of what the purpose of the church is and what we ought to be doing, where we should be focusing. Now, I understand that encountering this kind of debate is kind of a pastoral occupational hazard, but you've heard these questions too, right? Ever heard someone say, "I don't think church should be so political," or "Why doesn't the church do more to help people?" Or "Can't we just follow Jesus and not worry about X, Y, or Z?" Those kind of questions. You've heard those questions. And when you hear those questions, or maybe you're the one asking them sometimes, that's okay. But remember that the church is not just some abstract institution. The church is the people of God, you and me. We are the church. So these questions about what the church ought to be doing are really about what we should be focusing on as followers of Jesus. So, which should it be? Should we be focusing more on spiritual needs or physical? Temporal or eternal? Sacred or secular? Well, I believe from those two readings we just heard, the correct answer is yes, both and. God cares about both our spiritual and our physical well-being, not just one or the other. And so, as the body of Christ, we are called to care about both as well. Loving our neighbors includes both. Setting physical concerns against spiritual concerns or setting social justice against saving souls, those are false dichotomies, even if sometimes there are real tensions between them. Today, I want to look with you at two lines from our readings, one from each one. So from 1 John chapter 4, those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. And from John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. So I wonder, which one's more tempting for you? Focusing so much on the day-to-day problems and the needs in this world that you lose sight of God's involvement and ignore the promise of God's eternal kingdom? Or focusing just on the spiritual and trying to love God without getting caught up in the social and the political implications of loving your neighbors? Which one? For me, sometimes I swing between both extremes, especially as a professional church person. It's easy for me to sit here in my nice office and talk about spiritual things to a camera or in worship, and week after week tell you, remember, Jesus loves you and you are a child of God. And of course, it'd be nice for you to go do some good things too, but if you don't, that's fine. Jesus loves you anyway. And you know what? That's true. Jesus loves you regardless of what you do. You cannot make God stop loving you. But only talking about it that way, is that faithful? Or is that softening God's commands? Because God does have something to say about the way that we live. There's some tough verses this week. Those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. What do we do with that? Are we speaking up against hate? There's plenty going on right now in our world that we could be protesting on behalf of our neighbors. Are we loving people who don't have enough food? Are we doing anything to help our neighbors when they've lost their jobs? Are we caring for farmers who worry about a way of life disappearing? You can go on and on. And 1 John continues, doesn't let us off the hook at all. The commandment we have from God is this. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. In another letter, James puts it even more bluntly. He writes, if a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. And as I read that, I'm quite confident that both James and John are talking about more than just giving someone clothes or food. That's where we have to start. That's important. That is essential. But the social justice work, the ministry of the church, is about making a difference in the world, which includes addressing the sources of problems, not just the obvious symptoms. So feed people, and also ask why they are hungry in the first place. Visit people in prison, as Jesus says to do in Matthew 25. And also work to break the cycles that lead people to break the law and discriminatory systems that where the law is applied differently to different groups of people. One of the devotions I read this week talked about how when we pray for God's will to be done in the Lord's Prayer, we are praying for earth to become more like heaven. How Jesus told us to pray, bring heaven down here. So we begin with our body, our mind, our appetites, and then it spreads to the office, our family, our neighborhood, our church, our country. And we pray trusting that God answers prayer, trusting that God's kingdom is coming, and that we get to be a part of the work God is doing in bringing about God's kingdom. Being concerned about the spiritual requires us to be concerned about the earthly as well. You cannot love God without loving people. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit." Bearing fruit, doing good works, and loving your neighbors does not make God love you. That's crucial. God does not love you because you do good things. God loves you no matter what you do. And because God loves you first, you cannot help bearing fruit. Good works are the inevitable result of being connected to God. And as a church, we have to work for justice. I love the way Dr. Cornel West defines justice. He says, "Justice is what love looks like in public." And yet at the same time, we are a church. We're not a social services agency. We're not the government, and we shouldn't be. There are problems that we as church can solve, and there are others where we do much better to take a supporting role, to advocate and donate and pray. Some of us in this congregation are called to do the hands-on work as social workers, as teachers, as police officers, ambulance crew, political leaders. You all watching this have vocations outside of the church where you are called to serve your neighbor through your job, whatever it is, accountants, farmers, florists, lawyers, caregivers, grocery clerks, whatever. Whatever your role in life, part of it is to serve your neighbors. But we as church together, we have a unique calling as well. Our job is to help people connect with Jesus, to help people abide in their Savior, stay connected to the vine, to share the good news. And so I think letting the community use our space for a baby shower is wonderful, but we're more than just a rental hall. Quilting and sending quilts as signs of God's love or prayer shawls, that's wonderful, but we're not just a quilting club or crocheting group. We're not just childcare or a food bank. We are a church, the body of Christ in the world. We are God's ambassadors, and our mission is to help people abide in Jesus, to worship, to pray. We're called to proclaim the good news of God's amazing grace, this good news that the world needs to hear, not just for this world, but God's grace that is for all of eternity. We're the only ones with that message. Many of you have seen outside the parsonage window, outside the front window, there's this big bush. And this week, the bush is flowering. Well, right now it's blowing in the wind, but before all the flowers might have blown off, it was flowering. And so there were lots of green leaves and white flowers and insects flying around it, these great signs of life and spring. But if you look at it closely, you'll notice that underneath the bush, underneath the green leaves and the white flowers, there are some dead sticks lying on the ground. And I'm not much of a gardener, but I have discovered that it is a lot of fun to use an electric hedge trimmer. And those sticks are the result. When the branches are cut off from the bush or cut off from the vine, they die. They're no good anymore. They don't bear fruit. They don't bear leaves. They're not connected. They stop being any good for anyone. Everything we do as church and as individual Christians comes out of our connection with Jesus. 1 John 4:19 in our reading is one of my absolute favorite verses in the Bible. It says, "We love because he first loved us." Abiding in Christ means staying connected to the vine, getting our nourishment, our sustenance from God. We can't grow without being connected to Jesus. We can't bear good fruit without being connected to Jesus. We can't lose our unique calling as Christ's body because God called us first. God loved us first. And so at the same time that we work to care for our neighbors and to make a difference in the world, at the same time as we seek justice and love in public and we live into God's kingdom, what does it look like to stay connected to Jesus? What does it look like for you to abide in Christ? I don't have a complete answer, but I will suggest part of it is what you're doing right now, participating in worship from your home, on your phone, on your computer, maybe on your TV screen, reading God's word. I hope this is not the only encounter you have with faith this week. I hope you're opening the Bible and reading it. I hope you're praying, loving one another, because if we love one another, God lives in us and God's love is perfected in us. Let God fertilize you. Let God even prune parts of your life that need to go, parts that pull you away from the vine. Most importantly, remember God loves you first, before you can do anything in response. Beloved of God, may you find life in abiding in God. May you know God's love made visible in Jesus Christ, your Savior. And may God's love for you inspire you to love your neighbors and to change the world, to build God's kingdom. Amen. Well, again, thank you, and I hope that this message is helpful and meaningful for you. And if you're able to give a donation to support our ministry here at St. Peter, we'd really appreciate it. You can give online at www.stpetergreen.com/giving, or you can mail or drop off a check here in the office. And thank you for your generosity and for being church with us, church together. Now receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.